So the last presentation of today will be about C++. It's the only presentation about C++ today here. So who am I? Wait, I forgot something. My name is Mark Grégoire. I'm a Visual C++ MVP and a Microsoft Meet member. And you have my coordinates if you want to ask any questions later. I'm also the founder of the Belgium C++ User Group, which started at the beginning of this year. We already had a few events. The next event is next week already. And you can find more information on our website. The agenda for today, I will have a few slides detailing the Windows 8 platform. Then we'll go into details about Windows runtime and how to use it from C++. I will also touch asynchronous programming model, which is very important in Windows 8. I will explain the interaction between the WinRT and the C++ standard template library, and finish with a little bit of how you can do UI using XAML in C++. So the Windows 8 platform, probably everyone already have seen this diagram, but I'll just quickly recap. So at the bottom you have the Windows core, the Windows kernel. Then on the right you have the standard way, or the old way of writing applications. You can use HTML, which runs in Internet Explorer. You can use C, C++ using the Win32 API. You can use C Sharp or Visual Basic using the .NET framework. And now on the left, this is all new. This is Windows 8 specific. There are a lot of new runtime APIs, and they are all bundled inside the Windows runtime. And on top of this, you can choose which language you want to use. So you can choose for HTML and CSS using JavaScript, or you can make your UI in XAML with code behind in C Sharp, Visual Basic, or now also in C, C++. So this talk will only talk about the XAML and the C++ part. Where can C++ be used in Windows 8? You can develop Metro hybrid apps where you have the UI written in HTML5 and JavaScript, but which calls some C++ backend components to do some heavy computations, for example. You can have the Metro XAML applications where the UI is written in XAML and you have the C++ as a code behind. And the third one is when you want to develop high-performance Metro applications with a lot of 2D, 3D graphics, you can use C++ directly with DirectX rendering. Now, the Windows runtime. It's a foundation for building Metro-style apps. You cannot do anything without building on top of the Windows runtime. What exactly is the Windows runtime? It's a strongly typed system, and everything is automatically reference counted. It's exception-based, so you don't have to worry, you don't have to work with error codes like in C++. If you use COM, you have to use hResults. That's not the case. Everything is exception-based. The Windows runtime has a clear, defined binary contract. And all the languages understand that binary contract, so it's ABI safe. And there is deep integration with the standard template library, as I will explain later in more details. What exactly is included in the Windows runtime? Almost everything you need. You have a lot of classes for UI, things like pickers, controls, you have classes for media, for XAML, storage, network, and so on. You have access to your sensors in your device, to your location, and more. And you can still use a subset of the Win32 APIs, but it's rather limited. If you look at MSDN, at the top of each page, it will say if that Win32 API is allowed to be used on the desktop or also on Metro. That's a schematic overview of the different things that are available in the Windows runtime. As said before, you have a lot of user interface. You can choose your user interface, so you can have the HTML5, you have XAML, DirectX, and so on. You have your devices like your GPS sensors, other sensors, near-field communication sensors, and so on. What's also included in the Windows runtime is a detailed metadata, which is familiar for people that have developed C# or Visual Basic applications, but which is new for C++ developers. And the metadata is a complete description, a detailed description of your Windows runtime objects, and it allows for projecting your Windows runtime object into different languages like C++, C#, Visual Basic, and JavaScript. To make it possible to use C++ on top of the Windows runtime, Microsoft had to make a couple of language extensions because not everything was possible with the standard Windows 11 standard, C++ 11 standard. So those extensions are called C++/CX, and like the slide said, it's a set of language extensions and libraries to allow direct consumption and authoring of WinRT types. I will go in more detail. There are, since WinRT is a foreign type system, you need to bind a couple of things between the foreign type system and C++. There are three basic things that you need to bind. You have the data types, you have the way how you allocate objects, and you have the concept of pointers and references. So for data types, the Windows runtime supports things like a reference class, a value class, interfaces, properties, events. And a lot of these, C++ 11 doesn't have standard support for it yet. So these are Microsoft-specific extensions to the C++ standard. Allocation of WinRT objects happens with refnew. Everything that you allocate is automatically reference counted. It will automatically be cleaned up. It's not with a garbage collector, so you don't have the overhead of a garbage collector. It's all deterministic. You know exactly at which point an object will be deallocated. And then you have the WinRT pointer, which is represented by this head. And that means it's a reference counted pointer. Where should you use these C++ CX extensions? Don't start using them everywhere where you want or where you can. That's not the goal of these extensions. You should only use them on the boundaries when you want to expose your interface to other languages. So suppose you have this module that is written in C++, and on the one hand, you want an interface for other C++ callers. In that interface, you don't need to use any C++ CX objects. You only need to use it on the right side if you want that your module is called from another WinRT application. Now let's go into more detail about those extensions. And actually, if you just want to use the WinRT objects, this slide is the only thing you need to know. And all the other slides are basically if you want to create or author your own WinRT objects. So the most important thing is to remember how to represent a WinRT pointer, which is with the head. It's a smart pointer. As said before, it's reference counted and you allocate it with refnew. The whole WinRT, Windows runtime, is built on top of COM. And people that have used COM before will probably know the CCOM PTR. Actually, this head, this handle, is similar like a ccomptr, except that in this case, the compiler knows exactly what this head means, and he can do some more optimizations, like he will not always automatically do an add ref and release ref. In certain cases, it's not needed. If the compiler is certain that it's not required, then he will not do that, and you don't have the overhead of add ref and release ref. Here is a small example. So you define a pointer to a WinRT object called person, and then you start a new code block, and you allocate an instance of a person object, and you store it in a pointer called p2. At that point, the object is just created, so the reference count is 1. Then you can use it just like you use any other C++ object with the pointer, with the arrow. You can then assign it the p2 to p1, at which point you have two references pointing to the same person object, so the reference count will go to 2. You close that one block, so the reference count drops back to 1, and then reference counts drop back to 0. And at that point, the person object is destroyed. So it's not being marked to be cleaned up by a garbage collector. No, at this point, your destructor will be called. And the previous slide gave an example how to allocate it dynamically using refnew. It's also possible and even easier to simply use the standard C++ syntax by simply defining it person p and then simply using it like this. In the back, the compiler will translate this into a pointer like on the previous slide. So that was the only slide that you need to know if you just want to use WinRT from C++. But now let's go a little bit deeper on how to write your own WinRT components. And the first thing you need to know is how to define a class. And that you do with a new keyword, ref class. And here is a small example. So this one defines a public ref class called person, where you have a constructor, a public method, and a destructor and an internal function. The public at the beginning here is very important. If you don't specify this, your object will not be visible, will not be exposed. And the internal is one of the Microsoft C++ CX extensions, and it's to mark those functions as being internal, so they are not exposed, they are only available inside the module or inside the assembly. What's very important to remember is that in all the public and the protected methods, you can only use WinRT objects. So you cannot use any std w string, for example, because those public methods and the protected methods are exposed to the other languages. And of course, the other languages don't know anything about std w string or std vector. So you can only use WinRT objects in that interface. On the other hand, everything that is private or internal, you can use C++ types without any problem. And how to use it? Well, we've seen this before. You just use refnew and then use it like old C++. WinRT defines something called an interface, which we don't have this keyword in standard C++. So this is a Microsoft C++ CX extension. It's pretty trivial to define. This one defines an interface called iShape with one method, draw. By defining it as an interface, the compiler will automatically make everything abstract. You don't have to specify the virtual keyword. You don't have to specify the pure virtual specifier, so the =0 at the end. And all the methods are automatically public, and you are not allowed to put any data members in it, otherwise you will get a compiler error. Once you have this interface, you can derive from it as you would expect. You just do public interface class, iSelectable shape, and derive from the iShape class. And this one will just add one more method to it. And then implementing it is also rather straightforward. Remember the ref class. In this case, it's not a public one, so it will not be exposed to other languages. And then you implement your draw and your select interface. And using it as you would expect, you create an instance of a rectangle and you can assign it to a WinRT pointer of type iShape. The second thing that is added by the C++ CX extensions are properties. They were almost included in the Windows in the C++ 11 standard, but didn't make it. So probably they will be in the next C++ standard. How to define a property? If you've used C#, you're probably familiar with this. You have two ways of defining them. You have trivial properties, where the compiler will automatically create a private backing store. Like in this case, you just define a public property of type string with name. A compiler will automatically make a private member to store the value of this property. Of course, you can also have user-defined properties in which you have to define and write your own get, getter, and setter methods. So in this case, we define a public property sibling, where we have a getter, which initializes the sibling and then returns it, and the setter will set the sibling and then notify him. Using it as you would expect. The delegate, it's the next thing that is new. You can compare it to a type safe function pointer. So it's a bit similar to the C++ 11 std function. But this delegate is ABI safe, so it can be used from, and it can be exposed to other languages. And you can bind almost anything that is callable to this delegate, as I will show. So you define it with the keyword delegate. In this case, it will define a delegate or a function pointer, which returns void, nothing, and which accepts two parameters of type string. About the binding, as I said, you can bind to almost everything. The first example is binding to a C++ 11 lambda function, which is an anonymous function defined inline. You just ref new a property change, which is the name of your delegate. And as parameter to it, you have to specify a function with the signature that you expect that you defined in your delegate. So in this case, it's a lambda expression. You can see it starts with square brackets. It doesn't return anything, and it accepts two parameters of type string. So this will compile perfectly. You can also just supply a free function, a global function, if it has the correct signature, or even from a class member. In this case, you are required to specify two parameters. The first parameter is the instance of your class, and the second parameter is a pointer to the member function that you would like to call when this delegate is fired. And calling it is as simple as a normal function call. So P is the instance of our delegate, and you just call it with the two parameters that are expected, in this case, two strings. Now that we know about delegates and properties, we can go one step further and talk about events. An event is actually a property that is of type delegate. And instead of having a getter and a setter, you can do raise, remove, and add on an event. Again, just like with a property, you have two ways of defining them. You have a trivial event in which the compiler will automatically have the private backing store. That's the easiest way. Otherwise, if you want to do it the hard way, you have to specify the add, remove, and raise methods yourself. As you might remember a few slides back, to define a user-defined property, you had to define your own get and set method. How to use the events? The first step is to subscribe to an event that you're interested in, and you do that with either the plus equal operator or by calling the add method. However, note that only the add method returns a token. The plus equal doesn't return you anything. And that's important if you want to unsubscribe. If you want to unsubscribe, you can also use the two ways. You can use the minus equal operator or directly call the remove function. But you have to specify a token. And so in that case, you have to use the add method because the plus equal doesn't return you anything. Let's talk a little bit more about exceptions. As said before in the beginning, WinRT uses COM underneath, and thus everything in COM is based on H results, which are simply numbers. That's not so easy to handle cleanly, so WinRT wraps everything inside exceptions. However, there are only a fixed set of exceptions available, and this is the list. This is all the exceptions that are available, and you can see you have a number of H results and that are mapped to a number of exceptions. However, all of these exceptions, they derive from platform exception, but in the current version, you cannot derive your own exceptions yet from platform exception. Maybe in the future, but we don't know yet. So what should you do if you want to return an H result for which there is no exception yet? In that case, you can use the general COM exception and give your H result as a parameter. Next slide will give an example. Throwing an exception is straightforward. You just throw and then ref new. You allocate an instance of your exception that you want to throw. And here is an example of the COM exception, which you can use if you want to return an H result for which there is no mapped exception available yet. Catching exceptions, as you would expect, just use a try catch block and specify the exception type that you want to catch. And if you want to catch everything, all WinRT exceptions, just use platform exception head. And you can always access the original H result using the H result property from your exception object. Generics. Everyone that has used C++ probably knows about templates. Of course, templates are not ABI safe because no other language understands the concept of a template. So Microsoft added the concept of generics, which is similar to templates. You define them using a syntax which is pretty much the same as templates. So this defines a generic interface which requires two type names, T and U. You can implement it as follows. You can define a pair string URI and make it derived from an IPair, and there you specify your T as being a string WinRT object and your U as being a URI object. And using is again, rather straightforward. Now, so everything what you see on this slide is still ABI safe. And so Visual Basic, C#, JavaScript, they all understand this. You can even go a step further and you can combine templates with generics. So for example, you can have a templated generic class. In that case, only the generic part is understood by other languages. So you have to make sure that in C++ you instantiate the template instantiations of the generics that you want to expose, and only those one will be exposed. A little bit more about the metadata. The metadata is stored in WinMD files, and it contains everything that is needed to project your WinRT components into other languages. To consume it from in C++, you can either use the UI, just go to Solution Explorer, References, Add New Reference, or you can put a found using statement in the beginning of your file. Of course, when you import something, then you have to make sure that the WinMD file and the implementation DLL is packaged with your application, otherwise it will not work. And to produce a WinMD file in C++, you just start with the C++ WinRT component DLL template and start making your public classes, public interfaces, public delegates. Just remember to always put the public in front of it, otherwise it will not be exposed. One nice feature that is available in C++ CX is partial classes, which you can define them as follows. So you have a partial ref class main page with some definition for it. You can have a second partial ref class main page, which is in another file. And for every partial class, you need one final ref class main page. And the effect of all the partial classes is actually that everything will just be combined inside the final class. But they can be in different files, and that's a very powerful feature for designers. If you've used MFC before, you will know that MFC, the resource editor, will generate code and insert it into your C++ file, in your CPP files or your header files. And it will do so within certain blocks of comments or somewhere, but you have to be careful not to touch that, because the designer might regenerate code and overwrite user written code. By using these partial classes, you can have the designer write its designer specific code to one file, and all the user specific code, so the code that you are writing, you can write in another file, and so they will never be overwritten. You probably heard about this before. Async, it's very important in Windows 8. Actually, everything that takes more than a couple of milliseconds has to be asynchronous. And that's, for example, the reason why there is no synchronous file API in WinRT. Advantage, obviously, the UI will be fast and fluid. It can only stutter for like a few milliseconds. The disadvantage is it's much more complex to program asynchronous. The C# guys are pretty lucky with the await and the async keyword. It makes it much easier. For C++, we don't have that yet, but we have a PPL task support, and that makes it already a bit easier, as I will show in the next slides. Let's have a small example. Let's create a file, open the file, write a string to the file, and then flush the file. This sounds trivial, and if you write it in a synchronous way, it will be, well, four lines of code, basically. If you want to do it asynchronously, like you have to do in Metro, then it takes a little bit more than four lines of code if you don't use the PPL task. So let's give this example first. First thing you need to do is get the location where you want to store your file. In this case, we will store it in the pictures library. Then let's create a file. It's asynchronous. Create file async. Since it is asynchronous, you need to wire up something so that you can do something when the file has been created. So you have to wire up a completion event handler, which you do with this syntax. The code that appears here will be executed once the file has been created. Next step is open the file. Again, asynchronous. Because it's asynchronous, you have to wire up another completion event handler with a similar syntax. Once we have this, you can write something to your file. Of course, it can take longer than a few milliseconds, for example, if you're writing over the network. So it's, again, asynchronous. You wire up another completion event handler. You can finally flush the file. It's asynchronous, so one more completion event handler, and here you finally have done your four steps. So it's a little bit more than four lines of code, but it's asynchronous. PPL tasks make it a little bit easier. The first few lines are similar, so you call create file async, and the result, create storage file op, you wrap it inside a PPL task. And from then on, you can use a dot then syntax, similar like in JavaScript. So in this case, once the file has been created, then open the file, asynchronous, then store something in the file, then flush the file, and then the file is flushed. So it's a little bit, it's still more than four lines of code, but it's easier to understand, and you don't have that ugly staircase effect. Now some more slides on the interaction between WinRT containers and algorithms and the C++ standard template library. The WinRT defines a vector and an observable vector, and they are all defined inside the platform collections namespace. Defining them are, this line defines a vector of WinRT string objects. Adding an element, just use the append method. Most methods in WinRT object start with a capital, while in STL everything is lowercase. You can return a read-only view of the vector by calling the getView method, and this actually returns you an iVector view, which is similar to an iterator range, to an STL iterator range. One thing that is not possible with the STL vector is to get notification when something changes in your vector. You simply do this by subscribing to the vector changed event. And in this case, this myClass vector changed method will be called whenever something changes in your vector. Something similar, the map and observable map, they are rather similar in how to use them. If you want to check if there is an element in your map, you use the hasKey method, and you can remove something with the remove method. There is a strong integration between WinRT containers and STL algorithms. You have a WinRT string object, which has a begin and an end, and this begin and the result of begin and end can be used in STL algorithms. For the WinRT collections, there is a special header file called collection.h, which defines begin and end functions, which you can use to get iterators to your WinRT objects. Here is a small example. You have a vector of integers, and then you can use a standard STL algorithm to iterate over all the elements in your vector. You simply specify begin v, the name of your iVector, WinRT object, end v, and then a small lambda to process all the elements. You might think that this begin v and end v is something Microsoft specific, because usually you would write v.begin and v.end, but actually, since the new C++11 standard, the recommended way is using this syntax. Begin v and end v, and not the other way around anymore. So this is nothing Microsoft specific. It's also possible to convert between containers, so you can convert an iVector, a WinRT iVector, to an STD vector. And you can convert a string to a W string and the other way around. Just remember that everything in WinRT is Unicode, so you will always have to use things like wString and wchart. For the vector, if you have your STL vector, you can convert it into a WinRT vector by simply giving the STD vector as parameter to the constructor of your WinRT vector. And the other way around is you have a function toVector, which can be found in the Windows Foundation collection namespace, and that one accepts a winRT parameter, winRT vector, and it gives you an std vector in return. Now, a little bit about the C++ and the XAML. So this slide I showed in the beginning. So we will now see how to use UI, how to write UI in XAML with C++ code behind. So let's see if the demo works. So we just start a new project, and you will see here, if you go to the Visual C++ templates, you have a new subsection called Windows Metro Style, and there you have a number of different templates that you can use to start your Metro application. And in fact, these templates are the same in all the languages. So if you go to C#, for example, you see there are the same Metro Style templates. You have a blank application, you have a grid application, you have a split application, and so on. So for this simple demo, let's just create a blank application. And then you see here your main page.xaml, which is your start page, which will appear when you run the application. So I can compile it right now. It should compile without any errors. Okay, and now we will just get a black screen, hopefully. So there you go. So the template is working. So let's now add a small button. You just double-click your XAML. People that are familiar with C#, with WPF or Silverlight, they will recognize all this. It's exactly the same. It takes a while before the designer is loaded. There you go. So this is your design surface. You can simply drop a button here. You have your XAML XML at the bottom, so you can either manipulate your UI inside the graphical designer, or you can directly edit the XML. So there you go. If you want to wire up an event handler for when you click the button, you just double-click this in your designer. And so this is the C++ code behind. Let's say we want to display a message box. So just so the auto keyword, the C++ 11 auto keyword, works with the WinRT objects without a problem. And that's really useful to avoid too much typing. So there you go, and it requires parameter the string that you want to display in your message box. So let's just write community day. That's it, and now you want to display your dialog. And since a dialog will stay on screen for more than a few milliseconds, of course, it's asynchronous. There you go. Let's see if it compiles. That looks good. And now we should have a nice big button which you can click, and you have your message box. So now we have the power of XAML combined with the power of C++. The only downside is that for the moment we can only use XAML if you are targeting Metro applications, so you cannot yet use XAML on the desktop, but maybe or hopefully they will add that in the future at some point. Here are some resources that I used for this presentation. And as said in the beginning, I'm the founder of the Belgian C++ Users Group. You can find more information on the becpp.org website. The aim is to have, it says quarterly meetings, but next week it's already our third meeting. All the events are always free. Usually they are at the Microsoft offices in Zaventem, but we're still looking for sponsors, so if there are companies that want to sponsor the C++ community, then feel free to contact me. You can become a member, just go to the becpp.org website and click on the link. If you have any questions, you can contact us by email. So the next event is already next week, 27th, and we managed to get two international top speakers to come specially to Brussels. And the first one is Rong Lu. She is a program manager on the Visual C++ product team, and she will give an overview of what's new for C++ in Visual Studio 2012. And we have Kate Gregory. She's a long-term MVP. She writes books. She gives trainings. She speaks at conferences like TechEd and so on. She will give a presentation about C++ AMP, which is the C++ Accelerated Massive Parallelism Framework. It is to allow easy use of the GPU computing power from C++. Basically, if you have a for loop, you can just put some attribute in front of it and it will be executed on your GPU, and you will, depending on the algorithm, you can get performance increase by 100-fold. So there are still a couple of places left, so if you're interested, go to this website. If there are any questions about C++, feel free to ask. Or you also have my email address, or you can contact the Belgium C++ User Group. By the way, if anyone has any ideas for presentations on the BECPP events, feel free. If there are no questions, then thank you. And yeah, there is one question there. Or it's mainly if you need more performance. For example, if you're doing heavy mathematical calculations, or for example, processing 3D imagery or things like that. They are built on top of the WinRT. Where is the first slide? So the Windows runtime is this, and then after that you can choose whatever language you want. And in the future, it's possible to include more languages that are built on top of Windows runtime. So there are no links in between. What you can do is, if you use C++, you can define your own C++ WinRT components, and then they can be used in JavaScript or in C#. So it is also possible to make your UI in C# or in JavaScript, and do the, if you have to do some heavy calculations, you can call your WinRT objects. So your C++ objects. Depends on what you do. But for mathematical operations, yes. Especially now with the C++ AMP, then it's very easy to use your GPU to do the mathematical computations. And then you can really gain a performance of 100x. So you're not talking about performance gain of a few percent. It's 100x or 200x.